rolling, rolling, rolling. Though the streams are swollen, keep them doggies rolling, roll. Through rain and wind and weather, hell-bent for leather, wishing my girl's by my side. All the things I'm missing, good fiddles, love and kissing, are waiting at the end of my ride. Move em on, hit em up, hit em up. Move em on, hit em up, raw high. Cut em out, ride em in, ride em in. Let em out, cut em out, ride em in, roar. Yeah! Yeah! Keep moving, moving, moving. Though they're disapproving, keep them doggies moving, roar. Don't try to understand them, just rope them through and brand them. Soon we'll be living high and wide. My heart's calculating, my true love will be waiting, be waiting at the end of my ride. Move em on, hit em up, hit em up. Move em on, hit em up, raw high. Cut em out, ride em in, ride em in. Let em out, cut em out, ride em in, raw
an oldie but goodie from the old television show Rawhide. Remember those? Pretty good, pretty good. And I think it was Fuzzy St. John or Fuzzy Knight, the old guy that had a bald head and a beard on there. I met him while working at a electronics audio repair store in 1961 in Culver City, California, right across from the MGM studios. He was quite a guy. This is War Radio, White Aryan Resistance Radio, coming to you from resist.com on the internet, where you can download these programs, or it's coming from the big bunker here in Fallbrook, California, on the northern edge of Mexico. In fact, I feel we're in Mexico now. We're behind enemy lines here in the bunker. So they're all around us, boys and girls. You can write us. We still can get the mail through the lines. It's P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. Our email address is warmetzger@sbcglobal.net. Subscribe to the Big War newspaper and purchase our items that we sell in the paper, because that's what keeps all of this stuff going. Yeah, it's $30 per year still after 25 years. In the U.S., it's $40, I'm sorry, in Canada, that's Soviet Kanukistan. They're really behind the Jewish curtain. And it's $50 in all other countries, and that's sent to you first class in Canada and first class in all other countries in a plain brown envelope. And here in the United States, it's sent out media mail. So if you move, you have to tell us quite a bit of time before we put out the issue, because you won't get your paper unless you send us a change of address. Do that today. The war paper this month, which will be October coming up, will be a 24-pager, a big, thickin', boy. We'll have tremendous cartoons and articles, and boy, this has been a hot month, I'll tell you. Lots of activity this month. We've got that new book by Eleanor Langer, 100 Little Hitlers In. That's a $20 donation. And that's the book that pretty well lays it out, that telling you what you should have known a long time ago, that the civil trial in Portland, Oregon was nothing but a scam and a sham filled with perjury and everything else. And this writer, who happens to be Jewish, incidentally, has retraced every part of that trial and everything leading up to the trial and found it's so full of holes, it's like Limburger cheese. So if you want to read that, and also the glorious racist history of Portland that she includes in the book, It's a big 300-some page book. Well, send us $20 and we'll ship it right out to you. And that's 100 Little Hitlers. I was a little upset. I thought it should be 100 Little Meskers, but I guess I'll take second banana there. We want to thank White Heat Productions, Tommy Romero and all his boys and all the security and all that bunch up there in Riverside County for putting on a really grand concert just the other day. We had a great time. I gave a little speech there, and one of these days that videotape will be available. We had several cameramen working, and they're going to be editing all this tape together, and when it's done, we'll see to it that you're able to get a copy. I think you'll enjoy it. We had over 300 people there. I thought that was very good, and it was about, I would say it was about 60% men and 40% women, and boy, there was some beautiful women up there, and a lot of kids, little kids too, and even kids singing and like that. And we had the Brits there and this British band, and boy, they were really good too. And then we had the BBC TV following us around, and they didn't know what to think about all this. I think they were scared shitless. Well, we've got a lot of calls coming in today, so the Dr. Wyatt Kaldenberg, the doctor of all-knowing truth, will soon be in the studio, to which, like I said, Pilate said to Jesus, ha-ha, what is truth? Truth seems to be interpreted differently by many different people, but we know that Dr. Kaldenberg's truth is the ultimate truth, no doubt. I think he's coming down the hall now. Dr. Kaldenberg, what the hell is going on, man?
I have incredible news. It was just on
incredible.
This here radio show.
That's incredible.
And, you know, the California recall,
yeah.
The American Civil Liberties Union, the Democrats are arguing that the Negroes and the Mexicans won't be able to figure out the punch ballots, and they basically vote Democrats, so it's not fair that they're having these punch ballots. And the 9th District has agreed that it's not fair to the minorities because the niggers can't figure it out, so they're going to postpone the election.
Well, you know, the 9th District is social Marxist.
Oh, yeah.
Totally social Marxist.
Well, it was a San Francisco. It's in San Francisco.
So yeah, I know.
Like.
Yeah, and so the, you mean the Spicklets and the Nigglets are too stupid to vote?
They can't figure out punching.
Oh, well, they need one of these commie Jews to go in there with them into the...
Well, if they would have put them on computers, could you imagine a nigger trying to figure out a computer ballot?
Well, I was in this place to vote here, I don't know, on the school bond issue, and they took a guy, a Mexican, into the booth and was showing.
Yeah, that's supposed to be illegal.
I jumped all over their ass, you know.
Yeah, that's supposed to be illegal to
yes,
show. You're not supposed to go in.
I complained. You can't do that, but hey, you know what? They had old Clinton out here at that first AME Niglet church yesterday. Well, you know, it's an absolute no-no under the IRS codes to politic in a church.
Yeah.
But they do it all. They do it. Democrats do it the time in these Niglet churches. And now I wish people would complain to the IRS. Now, I don't think I'll complain to the IRS because they may start looking at...
Well, you tell you what a bunch of shit democracy is. You know, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the ADL, the Simon Wiesenthal Center are all nonprofit organizations. If you read the charters, if they ever petition a bill or any way try to influence a politician, they're supposed to get their nonprofit status revoked.
Yes.
Can you imagine them ever getting it revoked? I mean, they push the hate crime bills. That's supposed to get them revoked. It didn't. To us, they would come after it. To them, they don't give a fuck because they're politically correct. They can do whatever they want.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
It'll make it that much easier.
I mean, fucking D's buys yachts and limousines with Negro drivers with his nonprofit fund. They don't ever revoke him.
Well, that'll make it easier to gas him or hang him later on.
Well, you know, the good thing about it with D's is at least he drains all the funds out of the left, so actually legitimate left-wing groups can't have any money because D's is getting it all.
Yeah, we ought to spread that more around, too, you know.
Well, you know, keep it kind of quiet because that way it kind of destroys the left.
Hey, boy, old Arnie, this Arnold Schwarzenegger is really, this thing is really getting on fire here. We got all these Negroes coming out of the woodwork that heard him say nasty things.
Oh, yeah.
He was he supported South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
oh, my God.
That's immediately. No, you can't do that. They said he supported apartheid. Well, I think he probably did.
Mm-hmm.
And now they got this other spade weightlifter talking about it. But now I heard...
Black Prince.
But this reporter, this investigative reporter, he goes back to a lot of the people with that so-called banquet where Arnold was screaming about niggers.
Mm-hmm.
He says nobody else seems to remember it.
Yeah.
So maybe the guy is dreaming it up.
Yeah.
But anyhow, also he told about being in Arnold's apartment when they were going to do Pumping Iron, mm-hmm. that movie, and the guys asked for $100 a day,
mm-hmm.
which would be, you know, what you'd give guys that were just going to be in the crowd, and he wouldn't give them that, and then so they just walked out. So anyhow, Arnold's a cheap ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe he's more Jewish than he is Austrian.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, they know all about. David Duke staying in that damn same apartment, but nobody's saying anything about it. They don't want to give Duke any publicity.
I think maybe a lot of it, too, they don't want to give the movement any legitimacy, like the people in the race movement actually know famous people.
They don't want to do that.
Even though there's a lot of connections with the race movement. And famous
but democracy people. Now, the left-wing commie Pinko show, they've got the information now. We'll see whether they run with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, guess what, Dr. Kahlenberg?
What's that?
Arnie might be an illegal alien.
Oh, deport his ass.
Let's listen to a little bit of this clip I got here.
Essentially a restricted visa that allows athletes to come and take part in competitions, or allows engineers to come set up computer software, allows missionaries to come take part in evangelical tours. And Mr. Schwarzenegger appears to have used that visa to come to California to train and to work for Joe Weider, who is the founder of Muscle and Fitness magazine and a large magazine industry. And in his own 1977 biography, he said that he was paid a weekly salary in exchange for information, writing columns for the magazine. And I've talked with a half dozen immigration attorneys across the country who say that that would have been a violation of his B-1 visa.
Now, Arnold Schwarzenegger is well known for opposing, for supporting Prop 187, right?
Yes, Governor Pete Wilson is the co-chair of his campaign. He's supporting. He said that he voted for Prop 187, which would have denied illegal immigrants access to social services and public education. And again, that's why we started to look into this, because he's saying that people should come to this country legally, and that people that come into this country illegally are breaking the rules and essentially ruining it for those that try and follow the rules, as he said he did.
Hmm.
Well, Dr. Kahlenberg, what do you think about that?
Holy shit.
Is Arnie an illegal alien?
Yes, let's deport his ass.
Deport his ass.
No wonder he wants to educate all the illegals here. He's one of them.
Yeah, he just came over here in 83, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he wants to be governor already.
God damn.
And what about that other broad? What's her name with that funny accent?
Huffington.
Huffington.
What, Arianna Huffington?
Well, she came over here from Greece. She mm-hmm. married that faggot Huffington mm-hmm. that had billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And then he lost the election here in California for Senate.
And then he came out of the closet.
And then he came out of the closet, and she split. Now she's a Greek over here with all this money. She's running for governor. What's all these people that can't even hardly speak English running for governor for?
At least Bustamante can speak English.
Hey, I can understand Bustamante. What the hell, man? Incidentally, I see a lot of Bustamante signs going up along the highway.
Oh.
They must have those illegal aliens. They hand them out to the border, and as they go north, they hammer them up on the trees. Yeah. Well, I'm still pulling for my boy. I want an out-and-out racist. He's a race separatist, and he won't apologize for it at all, and I won't either.
And he'll fuck up the state, and the AM talk stations will go wild.
And he will finish the job on this damn state. And if white people won't rise up then forget it, boys. I'm taking my Swazi flag, and I'm turning out the lights, and I'm leaving.
Well, you know, even KFI, I mean, they're like total racists now.
Oh, God.
You know, well, the fact that we're not getting onto the thing and we're supporting Bustamante, they're free to say, well, the racists are supporting Bustamante so we can come out against him.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Handel basically was saying that a vote for the Democratic Party is a vote for treason because the Democratic Party just wants to destroy America and turn it into Mexico and bring him up. And say, yeah, he was going on this morning and on.
Finally, we're getting in some real hot politics.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the time, politics is so damn boring. Now we're going to get some real firecrackers going on.
I mean, even John and Ken was talking about the possibility of a civil war and stuff breaking
possibility.
Out.
I pray for it every
day. Oh, yeah.
I get
yeah.
down on my little knees on by my bed and I pray to Thor and Odin. I say, come on, bring a civil war.
Damn, all right.
Well, I ain't got here yet. Yeah. You better get those gods working.
You got to sacrifice a goat or a Mexican or something. Mexican would be better than a goat.
Well, I can grab my neighbor over here. He's close.
Goats have value.
Yeah, okay.
Let's go to the calls, Tom. We've got a whole bunch of them that have been piling up for a couple weeks, and these guys are pissed off and ready to go, so what the fuck, let's go.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yes, do it.
Honey, I'm totally behind you guys. I subscribe to the paper and everything. I really like that black woman's call, actually, to tell you the truth. You know, I see these people now who are so mixed. Their skin is, like, gray, and they have this meaningless fuzzy hair, and they look neither white nor black, and believe me, they are not aesthetically pleasing. People without heritage, and they're victims, and it's the saddest thing in the world. I mean, I think it's interesting that there are different races, but we should preserve our uniqueness for sure, and you know, be separate geographically. All right, great show. Bye.
He sounded a little pooped there, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. But it's kind of funny, though. You know, the liberals, they always push this diversity, unification through diversity.
Yeah.
And you really can't have diversity unless you have separation. Because, you know, like you're breeding chickens and stuff, if you put different breeds in one pen, pretty soon you're not going to have different breeds. You're just going to have, you know, your regular barnyard chicken.
I mean, it's all newspeak.
Yeah.
This is like the Russia communist Jews. I mean... Diversity means separating.
Yeah.
They're not separating.
No.
They're pushing together. It's
making
stupid.
The old Coca-Cola culture
oh,
come alive.
Man, I see over there last night on the news in Afghanistan, they're all happy because a bunch of the women aren't going to wear the burqas anymore. But the next thing you saw in the documentary was a Jew kind of beauty parlor moving in and all that shit. You see, the trouble is, it doesn't just stop with don't wear the burqas and okay, you can drive a car. Pretty soon, it's just like New York City.
Oh, yeah, they'll have a Madonna over there who's getting pictures of herself making out with dogs and stuff.
Yeah, right. So,
you know, they have the Jews have a view of progress, and basically what it's progressing to is the sewer.
Well, that's American culture.
Yeah.
That is American culture. Now, our culture has been displaced, and this culture is a total Judaic, capitalist, porno, perverse culture.
You know, there's a book called The Gift of the Jews, I believe the name of the title is, and it talks about all the influences the Jews have on Western civilization. One of the influences is their view of time. Because Aryan view, you know, you go to the Sumerians, you know, the Celts, you know, the Slavs, every Aryan, they viewed time as cyclical, going in cycles.
Yeah.
You know, they believe there was a golden age. Then you leave the golden age, and there's a time you return to the golden age, and everything goes in cycles.
Yeah.
But the Jewish view is totally against that. It's progress. It's everything is bad, and you got to go progress until you get to the golden age. It's in the future, and the golden age never comes because it's always in the future. To the Jews, the golden age is never in the present. It's in the future because the future is always awful, and they always got to progress, and that's basically America because there's no golden age in the past. And there's no cycle. Everything's in the future.
It's called perpetual war for perpetual peace.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Arch Roberts came up with that.
Eternal revolution.
Yes.
Hi, this is Robert here again from San Antonio. Great show. You guys are really on a roll. And yes, I am a good old New England boy, and I moved down here to San Antonio. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Want to know what both you and Dr. K think about the pizza delivery guy that had the collar bomb around his neck. Supposedly it was a bank robbery, but it seems very suspicious, particularly the kind of device that was used. I just want to know what your thoughts are. Thanks.
Okay, Dr. Kahlberg, what is your fine decision on
this? I think it's mind-blowing.
I think he lost his head while eating pizza.
Damn right. Well, you know, the last I heard is they say that a white guy and a black guy is who they're looking for, because I guess they saw some witnesses saw him run away, but witnesses are about as good as actually about as good as nothing.
Well, I don't believe that the black involved, because those nigger could figure something that cool out. I mean, that was ingenious.
Yeah, it sounds something like out of a Bruce Willis movie.
And it's an excellent way to get somebody to do something for you. Unless the white guy is the genius and the nigger drove the car or something. Yeah. Well, it's too bad if this guy was a victim, and I think it's the information I have been able to glean from the glorious Jewish press is that he was really screwed.
Yeah, because he was begging the cops and stuff to take it off and stuff, and they wouldn't take him serious. So.
Yeah, well, they ought to pick up these suspects and put one of those bombs around their neck and leave the room and say, yeah, when you're ready to talk, we'll come back, but you only got 5 minutes.
They'll do it to the cop to see if anybody will take it serious. Put one around the cop and see if the cop will take it serious.
Yeah, that's true, too, man.
And if y'all have heard anything on Mel Gibson about this anti-Jewish, what his parents were saying, I heard something a couple months ago, and everything's just gone dead. I just wonder if you heard anything lately. Take care.
Well, there's a lot of stuff flying around on the internet, but he's already taken part of the stuff out of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how these kind of people are. They'll gradually get in line. They may suppress their anti-Semitism and say they love the Jews from now on.
Will they take out the part Jesus getting crucified?
I don't know exactly what they took out, but they didn't take out enough, according to the ADL.
Yeah, I think that they'll show the Jews drinking wine with him and stuff.
Yeah, maybe, right.
Making popcorn.
That's right. I don't even want to get into that because it's so ridiculous. Jesus just being a symbol of the Son anyhow, and all this big hubbub. But I guess it's okay if it gets a lot of Christians mad at the Jews, I guess. But I don't know. I'm not really much interested in that. I like Mel Gibson, though. I liked his...
Braveheart.
Well, I like that, but I like Mad Max.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
And those early films he did, those Australian.
He's going to do another one.
Yeah?
Yeah, Mad Max's grandpa, I guess.
Have to have a bunch of niggers in this one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He'll go back to Australia and put the film in.
Maybe this time he'll fight anti-Semites. He'll get together with the Jewish Defense League and go after a group of mad Nazis.
I'll bet you a $50 bill that he's going to try to make up to the Jews after this movie. Yeah, he'll have to. He won't have any career.
Oh, yeah.
They always do.
Tom, but you learned about Christianity. It has messed up my family, both sides of my family, for two generations, maybe three. Caused my sister to have a mental breakdown. She was told that her body was evil, but her soul was good. My younger brother has had mental problems for years and years and years. I just can't describe to you how much damage this evil goddamn Christianity has done to our race. Anyway, keep up the good work. Race Wars coming.
Well, that reminds me, Mr. Kahlberg, Dr. Kahlberg.
Goddamn right.
Oh, yeah. That I finally found a source for the books I was selling, and that was the Bible, the Devil's Book.
Oh, yeah.
So I ordered several, and so we'll have those in stock, hopefully, before too long. This is, September the 15th. So to date this show, so anyhow, we will have them pretty soon, and we'll probably sell them for about $20 a piece, but you might wait a couple of weeks because I'm not sure of the source, so we'll see what happens.
Wait until they get here.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could tell you my entire family history, and that's basically that Christianity fucks up people's minds, to make a long story short.
Well, the insane asylums are full of people who are religiously driven to madness. I mean, look at them. I mean, they just had to ground a plane coming from over in Asia someplace yesterday because some crazy ass got up and had the Bible and was running up and down the aisle screaming Bible verses.
Mm-hmm.
And he headed for the cockpit, and the sky marshal grabbed him. They had to take duct tape and tape him into his seat.
Yeah.
I mean, religion promotes, insanity.
Yeah.
It really does, and we got to thank the Jews for really getting it going in the Western civilization.
Oh, yeah.
They really helped bring it across.
I think that's the biggest thing they're afraid of, because if they're smart, if they realize the minute we reject Christianity, they're in deep shit.
I told the BBC TV guy only yesterday, I said, look, the greatest reason I hate the Jews is because they helped bring Christianity into Europe. You know, I wouldn't have said that a few years ago, but boy, I'll tell you, no part of that stuff anymore, I'll tell you. You know, I'll bet you almost every family in the country, not too far from the tree, can find somebody that was driven nuts by religion or to do some crazy things. I mean, look at all these people that go around killing people, because of religion. And, you know, it's not racism that's killing some very many people. It's religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the Muslims against the Jews and the Christians against the Muslims. It's the Hindus against the hell's the other one over there? The Hindus against the
Muslims.
Muslims. Yeah, but then you got the...
The towelheads.
The little fat boy. What's his name?
Oh, Buddha.
Buddha. You got Buddhism. But Buddhism's pretty peaceful, actually.
What's the one with the towelhead? The Sikhs?
The Sikhs, yeah. They got the Sikhs and all that crap. So when they talk about racism spreading all this death and destruction, bullshit. It's mainly religion.
Oh, yeah.
Because if there were no white racists on the face of the earth, this war of religion would go right on.
Yeah.
And now look what it's got our ass into, you know? Wow.
Universal Brotherhood.
And look at all those what are they, where they all went parading down to the Holy Land to protect the Holy Sepulchre, and all our white boys went, and then they had the little kid march down there. Pope Innocent had all the little kids. They weren't even...
You mean the Children's Crusade?
The Children's Crusade.
The Children's Crusade is they got all these people to donate their children to Christ and going on the crusade. And then when they got to the Holy Land, they all sold them to the Wogs for sex slaves.
Yeah.
All those little kids and stuff.
Oh, man.
You know, the Wogs are, you know, like they have a thing. If it's a slave, you can do anything you want to it. So.
Yeah. Well, how about the Pope? He was yesterday. He could barely even talk. He's slobbering. He's reaching out to breathe. He can barely breathe. And I'm saying, well, why don't your goddamn God come down and help you out, boy?
Yeah.
You're the vicar of Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd think at least he'd help Papa out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tommy and Dr. Collin were a great show. Very informative. Got a question to ask you guys. My brother and his wife are thinking about adopting a child. And, my brother says something that for a white couple to adopt a white child costs a hell of a lot more money, but if they wanted to adopt a black child or an Asian or a mestizo, it'd only be a couple of $1,000. If you can comment on that, shed some light on the adoption industry in this country and how it works and how it's racially orientated to our destruction, I'd appreciate it. All right?
Well, it's really screwed up because the white babies are extremely expensive. They're very hard to get a hold of. And $50,000 is not unheard of, and even more. And that's why I've said that these white gals that don't want to carry a white baby to term, but they should carry it to term and then get the money.
Oh,
if they
right.
don't want the kid, give the kid to somebody who wants the kid.
$20,000 a baby.
Why, hell, they put him through college, set him up, you know, and you know, set him up with a car, maybe an apartment or something. And so that's stupid that they don't carry these babies to term.
Yeah.
And very selfish, too.
Well, you know, one thing your brother can do is get a plane ticket to Russia. Go to Russia because there's a whole bunch of babies there that capitalism is destroying Russia and the whole system's falling apart and the orphanages are full of white babies.
Yeah, and there's even in other countries in Eastern Europe, too, there's white babies, you know.
Siberia, you know, you get one for a couple $100.
Yeah. Then you're going to have to change his damn diapers, you know, man. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Oh, man, I've done that a lot.
Oh, yeah, can't believe how... nice, you know, the baby's breath are and how bad their diapers stink.
Oh, wow, man. Well, yeah, I mean, who wants a nigger baby? I mean, obviously, now they're breaking down the rules where they can put black babies in white homes. So it used to be it had to be a white baby in a white home.
Yeah.
But now they're breaking that down. So you see the program. It's not an accident all this is coming together like this. It's very well designed to destroy the race. There's no argument about it. Oh, well, they just happened to leave the border open, even when most of the people in the country didn't want it open. We just happened to have all these nigger kids, and you can't get white babies. it just happens that the American worker is working harder than any worker in the world, really, mm-hmm. and doesn't have hardly any time to have a baby or take care of a baby. They think, oh, that's just an accident, just one of those things.
Oh. Well, remember, like, in the 60s, they were pushing, oh, it's okay just to have two kids.
Right.
You know, you don't need a large family. And in the 70s, they're saying, if you have one kid, it's not true that the kid will be maladjusted. It's okay to have one kid. And then the 80s, they go, it's okay if you want to work and you don't have any kids. There's adoption. You can always adopt. There's many kids that want to be adopted.
And that was, and at the same time, the floodgates
were, oh, yeah.
And, oh, it was wonderful when the gooks and the slopes brought in big families from Asia.
Oh, yeah.
It was wonderful when the beautiful little mestizo families, mm-hmm. you know, 10 in a family. That's wonderful.
Hey, why do you have to have somebody
and
adopt?
And they get them on TV every New Year's Eve. Oh, the first baby out of the vagina.
A spick or
it's
a duke
a spick.
Or
isn't that wonderful?
Democracy in the making.
It makes me barf.
Well, Tommy, this is Walter from Chicago. I'll mail you newspaper clippings from the Tribune about Matt Hale. Right now, last week, they were he's come up for the trademark infringement, so he's going to be sentenced next week in time, and that's like $1,000 a day potential. And he's still in solitary or whatever, and I'm sorry you don't know more about it or whatever. But, yeah, I'll do that for you. Okay, thank you, and maybe a little contribution. Thank you, bye.
Well, I put it out on the Internet, and nobody seemed to be keeping me up to date on poor old Matt Hale, mm-hmm. so the guys are coming forth, and I got their attorney's number,
mm-hmm.
and I called their attorney. I don't have that information right in front of me, but anyhow, the trial's coming up on November 3rd,
mm-hmm.
and the lawyer told me if you want a seat, you got to get there real early, because, you know, probably all our enemies will want to pack the damn courtroom,
oh, yeah.
yeah. So anyhow, that's the story there, and poor old Matt, I guess he's still in solitary, and I asked the lawyer how he was doing. He said, well, you know, under the circumstances, he seemed to be doing okay. So that's the story there. Now, later I'll put the phone numbers on to the attorney, but we don't want to all just start calling the attorney and bugging him.
Yeah.
But we do.
Yeah, probably better not to give the phone number,
because yeah, you'll
have alcoholics calling him and rambling on.
Yeah, right, and even the opposition.
Yeah.
Mr. Metzger. Yes, I would like to comment on one aspect of the movement in which I think the white racists have been extremely negligent. One aspect which would be very beneficial were we, the white racists, to actually pursue it, and that is consolidation. Consolidation, making neighborhoods where the neighborhoods of white people who are racially aware. The faggots did it. I never thought I'd see the day where I would admire the faggots for anything, but you look at the gay neighborhoods, they make it very clear to any heterosexual male walking on the streets that they're not wanted, and anybody heterosexual feels very uncomfortable there. Were the white racists to make white racially oriented neighborhood and everything.
Well, that co-op kind of stuff, things like that sound good on paper,
mm-hmm.
but when you're working with human nature, and especially among very independent white racist people, it's very tough to do that. And then there's a lot of safeguards the government has to do when you go get loans and all that kind mm-hmm. of stuff, even to get into a block. And then if they can prove you to you got the house and offered more money and all that, then you run into all that crap. Now, the only thing I could see is a bunch of you go together and buy an apartment building and have only white racial people in there, and each person probably could own their own apartment, and if somebody tried to trip the traces and screw it up and sell their apartment to a non-white, they just disappear.
Yeah. You know, like the Ines Kindred is experimenting with that stuff, and the first thing they did is they went to this town called Forest, which is in the Sierra Nevadas.
Yeah.
And it's an old gold mining town, and you can't build in the National Forest, but since it's there, I forget the name of it, but you got a right to be there since the houses are there, but if one of them, it burns down, you can't rebuild. Mm-hmm. Well, so they bought a whole bunch of houses there, and it was blocked off, so they were living there, and they were doing fine, and they got the bright idea to buy 88 acres in Grass Valley, and all of them can live on this tiny 88 acres.
Yeah.
And the forest thing where they were in different houses and they were separated, that worked. When they went to the 88 acres, then you have normal things like your kids fighting, and the parents always take the side of their own kids.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, that was a big mess because, you know, the utopian thing doesn't work.
There's a whole bunch of that that right-winger conservatives have tried to start. Yeah. At Bo Greitz, he started a big development up there in the northwest someplace.
It was Vietnamese kids.
And then he was screwing the people or something. They got in a big fight, and they were suing him and everything. Yeah. And I remember guys way back in the 70s that were trying to do this kind of stuff. It never lasts. Mm-hmm. Even Colonel Gale had a place up here in north of Fresno. Yeah. And, people would come up there. But he was such a dominant person.
Yeah.
And it was either my way or the highway. It could never work.
Yeah.
And even workers who came up there a lot of times got in fights with him.
Oh, yeah.
So it's very difficult to do this in a small town, small area. But I think the apartment building or the condominiums or something like that might work out.
Yeah.
But I think the best way is just have people here and there in the neighborhood.
Yeah. You know, that's what a lot of Otis Kindreds do. They do go like a 50-mile radius.
Yeah.
And you make a kind of a village of, you go to people's houses and stuff like that. And that way you can go away and not get on their nerves. Well, you know, when we were written that a big apartment is mainly racist in it and stuff, you know, one of the main things we did is make sure we didn't talk to each other in the daytime. That way we wouldn't see too much of each other and get on each other's nerves, because if you hang out with everybody 24/7, you just want to kill them after a while.
Right, and I remember also, even though they weren't all so-called racist in there, that there were Mexicans were climbing over the fence and stealing the tools out of my car twice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was out there a few nights with a rifle underneath the car waiting on them.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I saw these guys in camis coming around the other end of the apartment complex with guns.
Yeah.
I said, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
And I said, hey, guys. They said, oh, hell yes, we're out to get those Mexicans too. And they were white Marines living in the same apartment building at the other end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The good thing, too, is like with my wedding and stuff, a lot of the people I invited there were people from the apartment that weren't in the movement. But since they knew all these white racists and stuff, I mean, you know, going to a racist pagan thing was actually pretty normal to me. Even the landlady and stuff was drinking mead and yelling white power at my wedding and all kinds of shit.
Well, you know, a lot of people only go so far in any struggle. They're not going to be key players.
Mm-hmm.
They just sort of want to come along. They like your company, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
You just keep them at arm's length in that capacity. You can be very friendly and so forth, but you got to be careful not to tell them too much and not to include them in on anything big and heavy. I mean, you know. So anyhow, that work out. It's very difficult to do what you say, sir, but it is an admirable goal, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm all for it, if it'll work. But I've seen white people move in side by side that were great white racist patriots, and within 6 months they wanted to kill each other.
You know, there's a book, I forget the name of it, but it was about utopian socialist communes in the 1800s.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about Robert Owens, you know, his experimental communes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And basically it's pretty much detail about how they fell apart. And the reason they always fell apart was, you know, people just get on each other's nerves. You know, you cram these people into small space. And, all radicals are very individualistic.
Right.
And I noticed in the race movement, the more swastika somebody wears, the more of an anarchist they are.
Because yeah.
most American Nazis aren't Nazis at all. They're just nihilists. They put the swastika on just to freak people out.
You know, yeah.
They're not disciplined. They're not militaristic.
Scare them back.
They don't believe in a dictatorship.
Yeah.
That, you know, they have no discipline. So you get all these basic freewheeling individuals in one space, and they just want to choke each other to death.
You know, there's still some of those little cults around. There's one down here in Escondido.
Oh, yeah.
Where they have all the spiritualists.
Yeah.
And there's one of the first ones that was at New Harmony, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was Owens. And it's still going to a degree, but it's more of a historical thing than an actual cult hanging out.
I mean, with Owens, it must have been a revival of his, because I know he put all, you know, he was a rich socialist in the 1830s, and he dumped all his millions into these American communes and stuff, and every one of them just blew up in his face.
Yeah,
know?
Right. Well, as a capitalist, he should have known better.
Yeah.
Well, Doctor, you know, the very fact that we haven't had too many serious civil wars in this country had to do because there was always land to move west.
Oh, yeah, you can always expand.
And if they were all hemmed up on that eastern seaboard, man, it'd have been a revolution every 5 years.
Just like rats in the box. You know, rats aren't cannibals until you put them in a box when there's a whole bunch of rats, and they automatically become cannibals.
So now we've gone all the way to the west coast, and we're back and forth, and we're filling the damn country up. So we're ripe for civil wars.
Oh, yeah, well, the Mexicans are filling up, pushing us out and stuff. So
yeah, so we got the race thing, plus we got the normal thing, economics and everything. Mm-hmm. You got reasons for the workers to rise up and kick the ass of the corporations, and you got the race situation going, and so there's all kinds.
You also have, you have the cultural and the religious thing.
And then
people don't think about it, but people will die and die for culture and religion.
Yeah, pretty soon the Muslims will, if they get enough of them in here, they'll start flexing their muscles.
Yes.
Yeah, and then the
and not just that, the Catholics, you know, the Mexicans just aren't bringing up their dark skin, they're bringing up Catholicism.
Yeah, and that's why the Catholic Church loves them too, to get more Catholics in here, because their white people are leaving the Catholic Church like mad, you know. So anyhow, it's very difficult, you know. And you get a bunch of—I was watching that God and the Generals last night.
Mm.
You get a bunch of generals together; they would fight like cats and dogs if they weren't spread out, and you know, one guy over there, one guy over here,
because
they always have this ego and jealousy. Well, this is part of the whole human male animal, the alpha male, and the whole bit. You can't have alpha males.
Well, great men want to be great. They want to dominate. And you get 50 great men, they all want to dominate, so they're all going to kill you. They're going to, you know, the king of the hill. Just one guy is on the hill at the end.
It's hard enough for us to get along when they're clear across the country.
Oh, yeah.
Different leaders and so forth, and the followers, and they fight more, too. So it's something else, man.
Just for the guy calling about, you know, about coming down on your man Schwarzenegger and all this bullshit. Typical right-wing conservative. These are the guys that we as white separatists have a big problem with right now. They're worse than any Jew or even nigger we can imagine due to the color of their skin, and they pretend they're on our side. It's all about money with these guys. And just to let them know that Schwarzenegger would fry your ass in a heartbeat, pal. You make those $2 about even a nigger, a street nigger, even a Jew, a low-like Jew would even fucking persecute you. Schwarzenegger be the first guy to stick your head in the grill if any sort of hate crime, or he calls me a nigger when he gets the power. Believe me, you're going to put your head on your ass with the rest of these clowns on the right hand side there and get your ass going.
Well, I do agree with that, man.
Yes.
Remember old Ronnie Reagan, the great right winger?
Mm-hmm.
He was a pain in the ass to us.
Well, fucking Bush, you know, he's the one that has all this Homeland Security and stuff. The reason Matt Cale's going through all this crap is not because of the liberals, it's because of the goddamn Republican Party.
That's right, and that Ashcroft and Rumsfeld, I remember those guys when they started.
Mm-hmm.
Back, they were from back in the Midwest someplace, and they were all right-wing conservatives, and, oh, government's too big, and we got to stop the government, and they're going to become dictators and all that kind of crap. They're worse than the people they were talking about.
Well, you know, the liberals are, you know, are fighting this Patriotics Act, they're using it now against the people selling drugs and smuggling and stuff like that. And they got a guy that was making meth, and they're going to get him because they say that those meth chemicals can also be used for weapons of mass destruction. So they're going to get him on the Patriot Act. So they throw him in jail, not let him talk to his lawyer or anything.
It's all about control.
Yeah.
It's all about control. Now, like these Jews, they don't care which side they're on most of the time. They can be the right winger or they can be the left winger as long as they control. That's what a lot of honest, good people in the right wing don't understand, that it's all about control. These now all of a sudden the Jews are becoming conservatives, a lot of them. They get on these right wing talk shows and they control the right wing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So they control the right wing. They control the left wing, you know. So it's all a scam, guys.
And the Jews are constantly pushing progress.
Yeah,
they're progressive Republicans.
Yeah, they always like to call themselves progressive. You know, a Jew came up with that back in the
30s,
right? It had to have been a Jew. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got cut off. This guy from liberal Seattle, Soldier X, whatever the frig his name is, snitching on. What are you talking about, snitching? I'll be the biggest snitch going. Why don't you get out to Chicago and go support Bubba Hale instead of sitting on the phone line talking shit? Why don't you just want to sit around, run your mouth, and talk shit when it comes time to stand up to your brothers and sisters and putting money where your mouth is? You don't want to help out the real leaders. 88, Tommy. You know, this guy crying about Schwarzenegger, he's probably the same type of guy that watches, like, nigger football and basketball. You know, say, oh, I'm okay, you're okay. He's Republican, he's for American, he's for patriotism. You know, these phony pricks. But anyhow, Tommy, $87 billion. That's all I have to say to him. $87 billion. Okay? What a good guy, huh? Helping out a bunch of sand niggas in the desert. Give me a fucking break. All the poor whites right here in this country starving and just barely getting by on poverty level. Where the hell are these guys' heads up their asses? It's incredible the way they think. They're so hypocritical.
Dr. Kaldenberg, I think that man was pissed.
Yes. And you know, he's right, and he's talking about that $87 billion.
Yeah.
That's what Rumsfeld's going to ask Congress, an extra $87 billion to keep the peace in Iraq. And a lot of the experts say that that's not going to be enough. It's going to be in the hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars.
You know what would happen if we had $87 billion to start rebuilding the states?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, rebuilding the roads, rebuilding the infrastructure of this country. I mean, for that alone, they should bounce this Bush out of his ass. And I'll tell you one thing, and I make no bones about it. I would have voted for, I didn't vote for anybody, but I would have voted for Gore if I knew he'd have kept us out of this war.
Oh, yeah.
Because this not only gets a whole lot of good white people killed, it makes us be hated even more around the world. Plus, they're laying people off by the thousands all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
The people have maxed out their credit cards. The highways and byways are going to hell. The whole infrastructure is collapsing. That son of a bitch Bush is a traitor.
Oh, yeah.
He's a traitor. Strictly to the capitalist class. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's making Iraq safe for the international corporations.
Well, hell, they're building that new road from Baghdad to Gobble Gobble Gobble. I don't know what the hell the name of the town is, and it's a long way off. It used to be 3 days. Now he says with this new superhighway, it'll be 5 hours. Well, why can't they build a goddamn highway in this country?
Because they don't need to move any oil anywhere.
Yeah. Okay. Well, any of you guys that support these people and think you're supporting me, you're out of your minds.
All the campaign manager, like you suggested, I didn't get him. I got some fagger on the phone. He's like a fag, and I talked to him. And he said to me, I told him about the border. He says, well, what do you mean? The security on the border? I said, no, but Westpac's coming across the goddamn border down there. I said, I want to hear Schwarzenegger up. He said, we're going to march on down there and take care of this ourselves. He said, well, sir, if you could just write an editorial to the headquarters in Santa Monica, so-and-so in address 94405 PEO zip code. These guys, I mean, write an editorial because they'll never hit the desk for the papers, that's why. They're all phony pricks. Forget about the right wing, the fright wing.
Yeah, man, that Arnie. I told everybody on the internet, I said, call that office up there in Santa Monica because some of our people did. And you get it like a limp-wristed faggot on the phone. Oh, well, Arnie, what, you think he can't do that about the border? It's a federal problem. Can you imagine telling a governor of a state talking like that back in the 1800s?
Mm-hmm.
He'd have made one call, telegraph to Washington and said, they're coming in and they're invading, and if you don't bring the army, we're going to kick their ass. They would have called up the militia and then marched on the goddamn border and told the president to go fuck himself.
Oh, you know what's the funny thing about that? You know what Bush says about the border?
What?
He says it's a state problem.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And now Ronnie says it's a federal problem.
Yeah.
So it's always somebody else's problem.
Well, that's democracy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's democracy. Everybody blames shit on everybody
else. Oh, yeah. And nothing ever gets done because it's always somebody else's problem.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, this is enough to gag a maggot. I can't understand why I don't have ulcers. I guess I got a good...
You don't? No. You brought some mine?
No, I don't have any ulcers. I have a good sense of humor. Mm-hmm. I have to keep laughing to keep from crying, man.
Tom, you had an article mentioning your support of Bustamante and World Net Daily, but the resist.com website is down. It bounces to www.park.clearlight.com, so I don't know if somebody's doing a DNS attack or if you've lost the page or what have you. So right now the resist.com web page is down. Hope you're back on soon. Or find another server or something. Anyways, keep up the good work. 1488.
Yes, we were down. We were down, and it had to do. We've had a server, a very loyal server, for many, many years, but he's not a big server, and there was a concerted attack on his on the server there. It went on for days, I guess. And he worked for days and hours trying to fight him off, but finally he threw up his hands and had to haul down our site. Now, I'm not mad at him because the guy's got to make a living, and he's a good old white boy from back in the Middle West, and so I wasn't mad at him. We just had to go out and make some other contacts, and which we did, but it took us a little while to get some paperwork straight, and it's back up there now. It was back up there last night, so I assume it's going to stay up there.
And this server's cheaper.
Well, yeah. They
actually, the Reds did us a favor.
Well, I stayed with that guy more out of loyalty.
Yeah, loyalty. You could have got a better deal. But
I was paying him more money, and I got it for a lot less money where we're on. But, you know, I'm a loyal kind of guy, and I try to back up people because he's been attacked by the press and everybody else for having us on there. So he's always supported our right to free speech. Yeah. So that's the name of the deal. And that Willamette Weekly article, that John Schrag, who wrote that, I think he used to work for the Portland big paper over there, the Daily, and as I remember, he sat right behind me in the courtroom, and he was a real asshole. He's one of these little geeky, ugly.
Is he the one
guys
that looked like Alfred E. Newman?
I think he was.
Oh, okay, I know that guy.
He looked
out of like Mad Magazine.
Now there were two of them. There was one a heavy set guy and one the geeky looking guy.
Yeah, the little geeky guy that looked just like Alfred E. Newman. Remember Mad Magazine?
Yeah, I remember, and we used to call him.
Yeah.
So anyhow, it just bugs the hell out of him to admit that Eleanor Langer is right, and it was a miscarriage of justice, and blah, blah, blah. Just bothers the hell out of him. And then what was funny in that article where he said that the DA, Mr. Fink, said, well, once they admitted to attacking him because of their race, well, you know, that pretty well wrapped it up. Well, what he didn't say, and what is the key thing in the whole thing was, because they didn't attack him because of their race, they didn't even know who they were until they got right up to them, and they were mad because they couldn't get their car through, was the fact that when they were getting ready to go to trial, the feds came in to the defense attorneys of Miskey and Brewster and the other fella, and they said, look, if you don't plead out to this thing, we're going to hit you with a federal civil rights trial, and then we could add 40 more years on the top of what you'd get in here if you lose. So these guys were teenagers, scared shitless. Their attorneys, you know how the attorneys are.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they try to protect their interests, but the attorney, I think, could see that they were totally screwed.
Mm-hmm.
So they bought the deal. So it really was not a racial fight at all what initiated it, because it was dark and they could... Mm-hmm. The whole bit. So the DA don't tell the truth. And the cops, I put them on the stand and the cops lied.
Oh, yeah.
Cops were up to their ears in a cover-up in that deal. And also they proved that the meeting before this happened had nothing to do with even race. They were talking about finding the girls and getting the beer and all that kind of stuff. And then the picture that they said this one guy drew of a Negro with a bullet going through his head was made at that meeting is not true at all, because the guy never drew it.
Yeah.
Mazzella drew it.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch that was paid off by D's.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, you know, if you wait long enough, you know, I used to hunt rabbits, and I used to hunt other things too as a kid. But I learned one thing. You want to hunt a rabbit, you get up on you kick a rabbit up and then let him run, and you get up on a high spot and just sit there. And a rabbit will always run in a circle, come right back, almost always, to where he left.
Yeah.
And then you got him. Well, that's with D's. We kicked him out. You know, he knew he'd been in a fight at Portland. And gradually, the years go by, and this shit's coming right around to bite him in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, he's going to look like horse shit. And I'm going to be the happiest guy in Fallbrook, California.
Webinar is white cities like Boston. It's all white. Universities, colleges. You're going to these bars, it's all white. You'll see three or four monkeys in there, sitting there, and the whites don't think nothing of it. Oh, he's a good nigger. Watching nigger football, basketball, talking about the game. There's always beautiful white bras around them. A white woman, I shouldn't say bras. The rocket toy turns out women. They don't even fucking look at them. They're watching the niggers on TV. What are these fucking white bras are fucking niggers? These guys are insane.
Well, I'll tell you, brother, there isn't nothing offends me and pisses me off more than professional sports and what it turns white guys into.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I can't stand to go into a bar for a beer and have all these goddamn professional sports on and football.
Oh, sports bars?
And all these white numbnut guys, you know, in there. And like you say, cheering on their favorite nigger and nigger ball and with their nigger buddy and all that shit. And I walk out. I won't stay in a place like that. But I'll tell you, it's pretty hard to find a place that don't do that. Yeah.
Well, you know, like O.J. is right. You know, he's always looking for the real killer. You know who the real killer Nicole Simpson was? Goddamn sports fans.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was her dad that was all jacked up that she was fucking a football player. And when he beat her up, you know, she went to him and she said, oh, go back to your husband, because he wanted to tell all his family, his friends and shit, that his son-in-law was a football player.
That was a perfect example.
Same way with his girl that got raped by Kobe, you know? Yeah. You know, Kobe's not the real rapist. It's her fucking father that idolized these nigger basketball players, and she went up there to get an autograph and got raped. Her father didn't idolize these sons of bitches. She would never gotten raped.
Yeah, and all these teachers in school that teach these kids that Negroes are not just equal, they're superior.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the message that goes out. And the most unbelievable thing, the hardest thing for a guy my age is to contemplate is these young kids that worship a nigger.
Oh,
I mean, it's so unbelievable to a guy my age, especially feeling the way I do. It's hard to understand.
Yeah. You know, Eminem is a perfect example. As you look at an Eminem concert, it's almost all white girls. So Eminem's this white guy that gets all these white girls into this nigger music, then they'll listen to Dr. Dre because Dr. Dre is a friend of Eminem, and they'll listen to 50 Cent because 50 Cent is a friend of Eminem. Then eventually they idolize niggers, and they go to these nigger rap concerts, and they just end up marrying niggers and fucking niggers and stuff like that. And it's this stupid white guy who's driving all these white... He's basically the doorway that all these white women go to fuck niggers.
And usually they pick out the ugliest damn nigger in town.
Oh, yeah, 50 Cent, man, he's... I mean, talk about a stupid... Well, he was busted for selling crack. He's been shot 9 times. He's one stupid fucking street nigger. And Eminem is basically... Because he's Eminem's buddy. They're buddies, man.
I was up at the gambling casino at the Palo Indian Reservation. Once in a while, we drop by there and have a drink and watch the stupid idiots blow their money.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, they got a great big swimming pool out there, and it was hot in the afternoon. It was funny. And so we were out there sitting at this little cabana there having a little drink, and... there's this big, ugly, ugly, ugly nigger, giant guy, must have weighed about 300 pounds. He was in the pool, and, you know, nobody would go in the pool. Not one swinging dick would go in that pool as long as that nigger was in there. Now, talk about race.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Keep it up.
Listen to your radio show. It was great. I just wanted to say that I've been drinking a little bit. But nevertheless, I wanted to let you know that I've been watching your show or listening to it, and I started sending you $10 a month, and I think every associate out there that enjoys your show that likes it should do the same. Use your computer, whatever, to set it up electronically so you don't have to think about it. $10 a month. That's nothing to most of us, and even if it is, you know, like if you're paying $10 a month to Showtime or HBO or to one of the Jewish-owned networks, then, cancel one of those. Send it to him, because think about it for a minute. That's the right thing to do.
You're right, man. It takes money. It takes money, and as long as you guys keep... ordering videotapes and audio tapes and books and things from us and subscribe to our newspaper, well, we can do a lot of things. In fact, I just got a new DVD deck where I'm going to start putting a lot of our older TV shows and our TV appearances on DVD. And I want to experiment with putting our updates and our radio shows, too.
Yeah, I was reading somewhere that there's where you can get, like, set... was it 700 hours on a one CD? I don't know if that was a scam or something.
I got something better than that if it'll work. And it's a little teeny DVD disc or CD that I'm going to try to put the radio shows on those. And if I could, you could get a little thing in the mail.
You have to buy something special to play?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to see if it'll work on this new machine. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, guys, send us some money. God, you know, we operate on a shoestring. These other guys, I keep hearing about some of these organizations with millions of dollars they're operating with and stuff, and hell, I think we get more accomplished with our little mini budget than they do with all their millions.
Because a lot of organizations, they mismanage it. That's one of the smartest things Hitler did. Is he first thing he did was hired a money manager.
Yeah.
Because he knew absolutely nothing about money, so he got somebody outside of the movement, and he said, "Here, you just figure out the party's money, and if we're spending too much, wasting much, you know, jump our shit." And then, and you know, basically, okay, it was all out of his hair.
Yeah. So anyhow, can you imagine if we had the kind of money that this one big organization has, that you know, yeah, who and I know who, but we're not going to say who?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine if we had that kind of money to work with? Hell, yeah. I know we'd have things really going.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But you see, we don't wear the right kind of suits and ties, yeah, sometimes, and we don't say some of the genteel words. We may say shit. We may say kike. We may say nigger, things like that. And you know, the people with money, that scares them.
Mm-hmm.
That scares them, you know, even though they're getting their ass destroyed by these people.
Well, that's what I always thought was kind of thing. A lot of the right wing, they want a revolution, but they want a respectable revolution.
Yeah, they want a democratic revolution.
Well, they want to overthrow the government, but they want everybody to love them at the same time.
Right, you know.
Tom, how you doing? This is Bob out here in San Antonio. Yeah, that guy David Blaine, he's actually biracial. I guess his father was African American, his mother was Jewish, and I guess he never talks about his father. So anyway, like I said, good show this week. Very, very, very informative. Take care.
Tom, this is Wonder Wolf from Arizona. You want to see a real good Dennis Leary film? Dennis Leary at his best. You want to see The Ref? Get the video. It's called The Ref, R-E-F. God damn it, that was a great, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Just about. Okay, anyway, the Mestizo situation here is they're trying to come into these RV parks, and we're turning them away because we're telling them they got to pay $800 for the first one. Anyway, yep, let it rip. But it's got to come to a head soon, and the sooner the better. If we're going to have this Mestizo Aryan war, it better happen within the next couple of years because...
out of time, man. Say goodbye.
Goodbye, and Johnny Cash, I'll see you in Valhalla, buddy.
Yeah.
Man in Black.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
San Quentin.